Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. You're going to be glad you did because Rich Galen is with us. Rich is one of our good friends, longtime member of our Brain Trust, the publisher, the writer, the editor, and the accountant at Mullings.com, the sometimes thrice, mostly thrice, sometimes twice weekly publication, cyber column is actually his, all about politics and other things that he has on his mind. Rich is a political operative of the Republican persuasion and very much engaged in the political process, the presidential campaign process especially. Right now we're going to get him to tell us about that in just a little bit. He's our good friend, Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Nice to be here.
And a Nationals fan, unabashed, right?
Unabashed Nationals fan. I can't wait till they get back home so I can hit the press box and find out what it was like to be in San Francisco last night.
How they doing these days?
They're doing great. They're only 9 games below 500, which, you know, if you don't follow baseball, you would think was dreadful. But at the beginning of the season, there was betting, literally betting, amongst the reporters that they would break the all-time record for losses in a season of 120. Now it doesn't even look like they'll lose 100 games.
What was that then? Mets in the 60s? Who had that?
63 Mets, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their first year. Casey Stengel was their manager, and one of the many stories about that year. And I'm old enough to remember that their first baseman was a guy named Marv Thronberry.
Oh, yeah.
Little known other than the fact that he played for the 63 Mets. But at one point, it was his birthday, and one of the reporters asked Casey if they were going to give him a cake, and he said, we thought about it, but we were afraid he'd drop it.
Well, I remember the 63 Mets. That was back when I was following baseball. I followed baseball until the 93 strike. After that, I gave up on them.
Around here, Cal in the Washington area, Cal Ripken, you know, reinvented baseball.
Oh yeah, no question about that. Hey, tell the audience now. I want to, you know, we're a full disclosure kind of an organization here, Rich. Tell the audience what you have done in the last 30 or so days.
Well, I joined up with the Fred Thompson organization. It's not a campaign yet because he hasn't announced, so we have to be very careful about not getting ahead of ourselves. It's likely that he will here in the next...
I think that ship has sailed, hasn't it, Rich?
For legal purposes, for all of us in business, you know, you understand, you know, what a semicolon can do, especially now when you go to your banker. But anyway, I'm what's known as a senior advisor, and in Washington, there are no such things as regular advisors, much less junior advisors. So this senior is sort of superfluous, but that's what I am. So I have a kind of a broad portfolio, without question the oldest guy on the team. So I get to kind of float in and around and sort of offer advice whether asked for or not.
So you're the token long in the tooth guy in the campaign. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the long in the denture guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a little too much information there, Rich. So we got Thompson, who, I mean, he's obviously going to announce, right? I mean, that's coming up, and you don't have to answer some of these questions if you don't. Well, we all know what's going on, and it's much anticipated, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. We hope so, yeah.
Yeah, much anticipated.
That's, you know, from the technical kind of professional political standpoint, I mean, the lay of the land on the Republican side is Giuliani maintains a lead. Thompson, in almost every national poll, is in second place, somewhere between 3 and 8 points behind. So I think there's one that shows him 13 behind. And then behind him is McCain is still sort of bouncing around in the mid-teens, and then Romney down about eight percentage points. Romney's campaign has had a little bit of trouble connecting outside of Iowa and New Hampshire, where they've spent quite a bit of money and doing well. But nationally, people still don't know who he is because it's August of the off year.
Mm-hmm. Is that the strategy? Is that Thompson's strategy to sort of let all the bloodshed happen among all the other candidates and kind of step in at a time when you don't get so much on you?
I wish we could say that we were smart enough to think of this a year and a half ago, but it's really sort of making taking something that is sort of chaotic and making a virtue out of it. Putting one of these things together is extremely complicated.
Yeah.
And as political junkies know, just yesterday South Carolina and New Hampshire changed the date of their primaries. Yesterday.
Right.
So it's really
when are they going to fall?
They moved up a week, and I forget now what the week is. I think.
But still not before Iowa and New Hampshire, right?
South Carolina and New Hampshire both moved up 1 week, but not.
New Hampshire moved up. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah. So now we're waiting to see what Iowa does. I mean, it could be that these things start in November, but I mean, it's not likely. But
it's like Christmas; it keeps coming out earlier and earlier. Hold on to that thought, Rich. Quick break. We're going to be right back with our good friend Rich Galen. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a good visit with our good friend Rich Galen, the publisher of Mullings.com, but also a senior advisor to the whatever it is that Fred Thompson's doing these days. What do I call that, Rich?
The official name of it is Friends of Fred Thompson, Inc., and it's generically known as a Testing the Waters Committee. And we're finding the waters more and more.
See, this is too much like homework, Rich. I can't keep up with all that.
No, that's why guys like me get paid a lot.
That's the reason you're a senior advisor, I'm just a lowly talk show host. So.
That's right. There's like three of us that actually care about this stuff in Washington. I'm one of them.
And I don't know who the other two are.
I don't either. They keep changing.
Okay, here's what's interesting. It seems that the candidates, all the candidates, Republicans and Democrats, are having identity problems. Do you see where I'm going with this? The Democrats have got to. Hillary has got to be. She's got to figure out how to be strong on national defense, but anti-war. And the Republicans have got to be, they've got to be able to be, reasonable, but, obviously pro-life in this setting and not pro-life in another setting. And my roots of pro-life go back to, whenever. It just seems that they're having trouble with their identities. What do you think?
Well, here's what happens, and this is really a issue that the press corps, I constantly remind my friends in the press corps about. We are talking about primary campaigns. So Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Edwards, and all of those, that's why they showed up at the AFL-CIO convention the other night. They are fully aimed at convincing, here's the phrase, likely Democratic primary voters. It's a very small percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And Republicans are specifically aimed at likely Republican primary voters, a very small percentage of the total population.
Mm-hmm.
And the press corps forgets that, and they, because they read the national head-to-head polls and all the other stuff, but it doesn't. You don't get in the head-to-head polls unless you win your party's nomination, and that primary elections, the kind of the broad way of thinking of it, primary elections are like peeling back an onion, and you keep throwing away the layers that are not going to vote until you get down to that little core in the middle that is going to vote, and then you got to convince that core to vote for you. A general election is exactly the opposite. You keep throwing stuff into the salad bowl and hope that you got more lettuce than the other guy.
Yeah, and you add it all up.
Right. Yeah.
It's a completely
different theory of elections when you're in a primary.
Can you see where it doesn't make sense to some people that two or three states and one of them even a caucus where a few people show up at the YMCA or Aunt Minnie's bingo bar or whatever, that two or three states should really decide who's going to be the nominees?
Well,
is that a wacky system?
Sure, the system's wacky. It's always been wacky. But it's even wackier this time because so many states realize what you just said, and they're not getting their share of the advertising pie and you know, the attention pie. So they keep moving this thing forward. So now we have Uber Tuesday on February 5th, where something like 46% of the delegates...
Not Super Tuesday, but Uber Tuesday.
Uber Tuesday. It's hard to find the umlaut on your keyboard in America.
I know.
So the calendar is completely different from anything we've ever dealt with before, and anybody who thinks they understand what effect that's going to have is kidding, because even under the old calendar, old being 2003... Remember back in December of 2003, Howard Dean was the nominee of the Democratic mm-hmm. Party. It was over. Al mm-hmm. Gore endorsed him, I think, on December 12th, mm-hmm. to great, you know, glee in Washington, because that was classic Gore to wait until it was decided and before he decided to jump
to make a big commitment.
Yeah, exactly. And then 3 weeks later, he comes in third in Iowa. 6 weeks later, he was out of business. So anybody who thinks in August, on either side, they can predict what's going to happen next February is simply making it up, or, like me, just going on TV so I can sound smart.
and so what does that make you on radio then, Rich?
It makes me even smarter because I have a longer time to explain it and fess up to the fact.
Exactly. Well, you know, what do you think about the debates up to now? Have they mattered, or has it just been like a circus?
Both of those are true. It's like a circus, but every so often somebody misses the trapeze and they tumble to the net.
That's right,
and that's what's happened here. I mean, Obama, I think, is probably done. Has had his campaign, although it generates a lot of excitement in the media, but his numbers are pretty much stuck. Largely, I think, because he has fumbled foreign policy questions, if not in every debate, then in enough debates so that the Clinton campaign, which is brilliant, by the way.
Right, yeah. Which we'd expect nothing less from that.
Exactly right.
They are the premier politicians on the planet. And I say that with respect.
Yeah,
with admiration. If you like politics, you got to know what the Clintons are doing.
That's right. It's like watching the New York Yankees, not this year, but normally the New York Yankees in Seattle.
Yeah.
But teams,
they,
you don't
they
have to
give
like them,
clinics.
But that's how you do it.
They go through life giving clinics on politics.
And she's kind of creeping up a little bits at a time, and Obama's stuck because of the debates where he has misspoken, I think, fairly dramatically in terms of foreign policy stuff. So, yeah, they do matter, I think.
Well, I guess you're right, but then we got all these other folks isn't that really what makes America great? That if you want to run for president, you can do it.
Yeah, Dennis Kucinich, Mike Gravel, Duncan Hunter. I mean, these people don't have any prayer, but they have a chance to really kind of highlight their issue.
And maybe get the message focused a little bit tighter. All right, stand by. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. Rich Galen, more politics right after these messages. Stay with us.
I know I love you better.
They are an imposing political force.
Isn't Obama's biggest goal right now, if he doesn't wind up with some piece of the action, like a VP nomination, isn't his big thing right now is just not to blow it for future years?
Oh, yeah, I think that's right. That's what Edwards did 4 years ago. That's what he did when he first ran for Senate, in fact. He had no intention of running for
Senate. He's a young guy. He didn't have a lot of experience.
Yeah, I think he gets the... My guess is that if he's not on the ticket and doesn't become vice president and goes back to the Senate, Barack Obama will reemerge as a foreign policy expert over the next 4 or 8 years. And he's, you know, in modern politics, being, you know, I don't know how old he is. He must be in his early 40s.
46, I think.
Yeah, okay, 46. So 46 and 12 is only 58.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 46 and 8, I mean, is only, 54.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Good
what
math,
am I doing?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, 54. So, I mean, in modern politics, that's still very young. So he's got a long way to go.
Who's sucking the oxygen out of the Republican side? Is Giuliani?
I don't think anybody yet. I think Romney has really done very well in fundraising, but they have had a difficult time translating that into public support. But you know, again, if given this new calendar, if you need $20 or $30 million to dump into TV from, let's say, December 26th, right after the Christmas buying season ends, until February 5th, then it, you know, it's a little bit like the Thompson campaign. It doesn't matter what happened in August. What matters is what happens in January and February.
Exactly. Now, you are a former advisor to Gingrich, Speaker Gingrich. So I was a little, you know, with in my opinion, Rich, with him being kind of, I always felt like he and Thompson were playing the same game. Have you committed yourself to Thompson to the level that you couldn't go to Gingrich if he came aboard?
I think once you pick a team, you're sort of stuck with that team as long as that team stays alive. But I mean, if a campaign folds, then the staff is available. The best example is the first press secretary for President Bush was a guy named Ari Fleischer. He started the 2000 cycle as Elizabeth Dole's spokesperson.
Right.
And then when that campaign folded, the Bush campaign picked him up. So, but to your specific question, I mean, Newt and I talk. I guess we talk probably once every 2 or 3 weeks. We probably email twice a week, and we're on very good terms. But you know, this is we're grown-ups. We understand.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, we got a couple minutes left. Tell us what we're going to see over the next month or so.
Well, coming up Saturday is the Iowa straw poll, which traditionally for Republicans has been a major test of organizational strength in Iowa, going back to the first question you asked me about a small state and why it's so important. But we're not in it. I mean, I think we're on the ballot, but we're not doing anything because we don't have anybody there. The other, Giuliani and McCain, have more or less said they're not going to participate with any great level of expenditure. So Romney will win that. The question is, does he win it by enough so that reporters go, oh, wow. This is the first of the bar-setting exercises where the campaign says, you know, if we get 3 votes, that's a victory, and the press says you need 30,000 votes to be successful, and you try to lower expectations so that you can beat them.
Why would the other two guys decide not to be there?
Because for a couple of reasons. One is McCain ran out of money, and Giuliani doesn't. His appeal is not to the kind of conservative, conservative Iowans that would come to the straw poll. So the Giuliani campaign, and this might be a winning strategy, has decided to downplay the first three early primary states: Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina.
Is that a unique strategy, a novel strategy?
Yes, and it's only possible because of this new calendar where you have New York and California.
Sounds like he's got some smart people working for him, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody does. I mean, you know, at this level, you know, not counting me, but at this level, there are people on both sides that have been doing this for a long time.
Well, I think Thompson's got at least one pretty smart guy working with him.
That's very kind. I'll see if I can get him on the phone.
I'm talking about my buddy Rich Galen, folks. Mullings.com. Check out his website and subscribe to his cyber column. Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, pal.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.